Well, greetings, Redeeming Grace. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I'm sure you never expected to have a Mother's Day in such current conditions, but I hope all of you mothers are honored and cherished by your loved ones. Nonetheless, we are so thankful for your work as a mother and the way that you care for your family and for God's family, the church. I want to draw your attention to Exodus 34, verse 6 again, as we continue looking at God's goodness and the various attributes that express his goodness. Last week we saw that God is good as he extends grace to the guilty and mercy to the needy. Today we will see that God is patient with us in our sin, that is, he is slow to anger. And second, we will see that God is faithful, never faltering, never failing. The context of Exodus 34 briefly is that God's people have been delivered from bondage in Egypt and are now camped at the base of Mount Sinai in order to worship God for that deliverance. Unfortunately, this is not what occurs. While Moses meets with God, Israel is at the base of the mountain, fashioning a golden calf, proclaiming that this is the God who brought them out of Egypt. The story unfolds. Some of you are familiar with it. God then threatens to destroy his people. Moses intercedes, which, by the way, is why God threatened to destroy Israel. He was training Moses as a mediator. And Israel's sin is remarkably not an object lesson in divine wrath, but the occasion for divine goodness. And that is the beauty of our God, that he is the Lord, as verse 6 states, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. First, let's speak and look about God's patience, that he is slow to anger. He says there in verse 6, as he passes by Moses, he proclaims to him that he is slow to anger. He is long-suffering. And God is patient. This word refers to the wisdom and moral power to control oneself when offended. Proverbs 14:29. The wisdom and moral power to control oneself when offended. When used to describe God as it is here in Exodus 34, patience is that attribute whereby God bears the reproach of sinners, delays their punishment, passes over sin so that he might bring them to repentance. Romans 2:4, 2 Peter 3:9. Commenting on Exodus 34, John Calvin says, quote, God reveals himself not only ready and disposed to pardon, but that he patiently waits for those who have sinned and invites them to repentance by his long suffering. Patience is one of the divine titles, Romans 15:5. He is the God of patience, Paul states. Paul in 1 Timothy saw his conversion to be a sign of Christ's amazing patience. He says, I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Divine patience, in other words, is staggering to consider when set against the backdrop of our sin. We must remember that God hates sin. Psalm 5:4. It grieves him. Ephesians 4:30. God Psalm 33 sees sinners all day long. He knows our hidden faults, presumptuous sins, and great transgressions. Psalm 19. I think that captures all of what we are. Sin is despising God. 1 Samuel 2:30. Sin is transgression as it violates God's commands. 1 John 3. Sin is foolishness. It spurns his wisdom. Sin is unrighteousness, deceit, and indifference to God. Beloved, God has all the evidence he needs to think us into hell. Which is why Exodus 34, and God describing himself as slow to anger, is one of the finest pieces of scripture you should have hidden in your heart. It's remarkable to behold God's patience in the world today. There's not a nation on earth that doesn't sin with a high hand. If anyone could see man as he is in sin, he would see that his traits resemble Satan more than they do God. John 8:44. We read in Psalm 14 and 53 that when the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of man, he sees nothing but filth and iniquity. All have gone aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none that do good, not even one. One has to wonder why God just doesn't make an end to such evil. Isn't that what you and I would do? And that's just it, isn't it? God isn't like you and I. He is so patient. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He's long-suffering. He is the Lord, the Lord. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. This is an attribute that I think resonates with many parents. That's probably an understatement. One individual who displayed such patience in the face of outright rebellion was a woman by the name of Monica, the mother of the distinguished church father Augustine. Monica had three children, but it was Augustine who caused her the most grief. He rejected the faith at an early age and immersed himself in paganism. He later wrote in his confessions that as a young man he would pray for deliverance from the bondage of his lust, yet the secret whispers of his heart were non ad hoc domini, not yet, Lord, not yet, Lord. During those difficult years, Monica responded not by lashing out at Augustine, but by being patient with him, giving herself to prayer, never giving up, always pleading to God for Augustine's conversion. In school, Augustine was a brilliant student. He leaves North Africa, where he was born in 354, and heads off to Milan, which is northern Italy, where he meets a Christian by the name of Ambrose, Bishop of Milan. And long story short, Augustine is eventually converted. It's a wonderful story of prodigals coming home. To the mothers listening, I share that story. And to the parents with wandering children, I want you to remember to be slow to anger. In the face of sin, yes, even high-handed sin, be patient in prayer. There is hope for those who seem like they will never come to Christ. And may God's patience for you be the fuel for your patient prayers for your children. God is, he's slow to anger with our sin. He's patient with us, always inviting, always pleading for us to come home. How much we ought to be with those in our lives, especially our children. Well, secondly, God is faithful. God expresses his goodness in the attribute of faithfulness. He says he is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Faithfulness is a quality essential to God's being. Without faithfulness, God would not be God. To be unfaithful is to be full of change, and that would be contrary to God's nature. Moses tells the people of God, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant." Deuteronomy 7. Faithfulness distinguishes God from false gods, for they change and wear out. Isaiah 46. God, however, is the rock, a God of faithfulness, the true God. Deuteronomy 32. God clothes himself in faithfulness. Psalm 89. Faithfulness is all around you, the psalmist says, as if he put it on. In fact, that's exactly what he does when Isaiah speaks about a coming branch, a descendant of David. Isaiah says that he will wear the belt of faithfulness. Isaiah 11, Ephesians 6. Faithfulness is that attribute the suffering Christ threw himself upon in his greatest hour. He cast himself on God's faithfulness as he cries out, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, the faithful God." Psalm 31, Luke 23. This was Jesus' last hope, the faithfulness of God. Whatever God does is faithful, Psalm 111. Whatever he says is trustworthy, Psalm 145. That's the basis of our confidence in God, Christian, you see. That whatever he does is true and right and faithful, and whatever he says is trustworthy. He's faithful to hear your prayers and faithful to forgive your sin. 1 John 1, 9, Psalm 143. God is true, Arthur Pink says. His word of promise is sure. He may be safely relied upon. He never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. He is faithful. There are many ways divine faithfulness is expressed in Scripture. I want to just look at three here. First, God in his faithfulness afflicts us. We must affirm this truth, friend, that God in his faithfulness afflicts us. Someone very close to my brother-in-law recently, just his best man in his wedding, in fact, a young man, married, three kids, went for a jog the other day and never came home. He was found later on the side of the road where he had collapsed and died of heart failure. Just out for a run, healthy as can be, or so we thought. And when you get this news, you have to like many of you know, you sit back and you ask questions, you wonder. And faithfulness is an attribute you begin to think about. Is God faithful even in these times? Safe to say, friends, that our faith is often tried. We struggle to trace the outworkings of God's faithfulness. Cherished plans have been thwarted. There is the whispering accusations of Satan. The friends on whom you relied upon have failed you. We so often seek to be faithful to God, and in return, a dark cloud hides himself from us. And through all that, the confession that must be in our hearts and on our lips is this: I know, O Lord, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Trouble and affliction are not only consistent with God's love, they are the expression of it. Which is why Isaiah so helpfully exhorts us, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Stay upon God, Christian. Though you cannot now harmonize God's mysterious dealings with his statements of love, Arthur Pink says, wait on him for more light. In his own good time, he will make it plain to you. God, in his faithfulness, afflicts us, not because he seeks to be harsh or cruel, but as a father, he disciplines us, seeking to make us his children, lovely to him, and him more lovely to us. A second way God's faithfulness is expressed throughout Scripture is that his faithfulness preserves us. His faithfulness preserves us. 1 Corinthians 1:9, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:9. It reads, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What this verse demonstrates is that our security as children of God is founded not upon our resolve to endure, good luck with that, but on God's faithfulness to preserve us. To put it another way, divine faithfulness forever binds God to his covenant people. He is loyal to his promises. He is loyal to his Son, and he is loyal to his people. How refreshing it is, beloved. How refreshing it is then to meditate upon this attribute. to behold the one who is faithful in all things, faithful in all times, and faithful regardless of the cost, which of course Christ wonderfully displayed for us in his final hours. God is true. His promises are sure. His covenant of grace is unbreakable, and he will preserve us to the end of days because he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. God in his faithfulness afflicts us, and God in his faithfulness preserves us. Third, God in his faithfulness will glorify us. 1 Thessalonians, you can turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Paul writes to these Christians in Thessalonica, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The immediate reference is in verse 23, where Christians are said to be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, therefore, is telling these Christians that their hope of seeing Christ in glory is not on the basis of their works, but on the faithfulness of God, on him who is faithful to finish what he began. Philippians 1:6. You see, friend, God will not only see you through this life, he will bring you to another new life, where the river of the water of life will be bright as crystal, Revelation 22. And to the thirsty, God will give from this spring of life without payment, Isaiah 55. It will flow from the throne of God and from the Lamb through the middle of the street, and at last, forever, he will be our God, and we will be his people. He will place his hand on your face and wipe away every tear. Death and mourning and sorrow will be no more. And he will dwell with us, and we will see his face. God is faithful. He will surely do it. God is faithful in his afflicting us. He is faithful to preserve us, and he is faithful to one day glorify us. Just a few words here in closing. One of the benefits of meditating and apprehending God's faithfulness is that it keeps us from worry. Jesus makes this point in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Why? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Matthew 6. If he clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you, care for you? God is faithful, Jesus is saying. A rather timely word for us, I believe. Because to view our situation amidst COVID-19 with anxiety and fear is to reflect poorly on God's faithfulness. To worry and vex about state and church relations, Revelation 13, whatever your opinion may be, even if the worst comes, to worry and vex is to reflect poorly on God's faithfulness. We do not fear man, and we do not fear viruses. We are Christians. We fear God, our faithful, living God. So redeeming grace, plant your feet in the deep patience and faithfulness of God. Set your mind on his long suffering in response to your sin. Oh, how patient he has been with you all of these days. How patient he is. And set your mind on his faithfulness, that he will not break his promises. Fully persuaded that he does all things well. And Christian, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. 1 Peter 4:19. I so love what Exodus 34 has to say to us. The goodness of God. He doesn't just tell Moses and he doesn't tell us that the Lord, I am a God who is good. No, he describes for us what that goodness is. And I look forward in the coming weeks to unpack his steadfast love in giving his Son to us in the gospel. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.